Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and babies, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Abbott, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
The shit is bananas.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga real point of that cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, homie. Fuck that. Black me. Out.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Well, this Thursday, June 28th, 2012, welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris, as always. And we have, somebody has a new show for you tonight. And, well, let's just get it going. I have a lot to say about a lot of things tonight, man. Quite a past 7 days between my last show and today. And I have a lot of things to say, a lot of things to cover. One of which, you know, I attended Tournament of Death over the weekend, thought it was a great tournament, and going to go over that from front to back. WWE, going to cover that, of course. Well, first thing I really, really want to mention, because it's the thing that I'm most excited about as pertaining to this show. Anybody who knows me knows close enough about the show or anything like that. I've been struggling for listens for a while. And I've done up and down and up and down. And when I say up, I don't mean like, you know, stratosphere up. I don't mean skyscraper up. I mean, you know, a little higher than I normally am. So something, you know, that I could look at and go, well, you know, there's a handful of people who are like, but and then some weeks are just terrible. So and I talked to a lot of people over time, and, you know, they would tell me, YouTube, man, fucking get your shit on YouTube. And someone who I always saw, I, you know, didn't know personally, but I always saw did tremendous things with YouTube and radio shows, was TV Tracks. He helps out Don Tony and Tim McCastle's show, Wrestling Soup. I mean, many, many podcasts, wrestling shows, whatever you want to call them out there. And he posts a lot of different stuff. And I figured, fuck it, let's give it a shot. So I sent him a message and said, dude, do you think you can help me out? And he pretty much hit me back and said, well, I'd love to. He's like, here's the deal. I'm not going to have time to listen to your shows to figure out what I, you know, can use, can't use, whatever the case is. If you clip something and send it to me, I'll put it up. How's that? And that's exactly what he did. I decided, because I knew that the majority of what he put up was WWE-related content. I had my probably about 100 shows, which, again, I'm still not accurate on that count. I'm really not good with that type of thing. And I had all of that at my disposal, and I thought, you know, there's so many things that I was really happy with. But when it comes to a WWE audience, what might stand out? What might be something that I can put out there to the public and they might take notice to it? So I picked about 6 minutes worth of clip from my Teddy Hart interview. I picked the part where he decided that he was going to shoot on his uncle Bret and pretty much say how Bret was the downfall of the Hart family, and Vince allowed Bret to come back in, and that's when Bret helped bury everything else that the Hart family had to do with. He said a lot of things that I figure would definitely get a lot of attention, and I couldn't have been more right. I cannot thank TV Tracks enough. I really, sincerely, I mean, if he hears this, dude, it means the world to me that I'm now able to do this. And hopefully I'm able to do more of this in the future. So far, it's only been the one clip. But figure it like this. Here's straight shooting. I think something like 14 or 20 live listeners on the Teddy interview. Something like that. And then on the downloads, as of Sunday, before this clip went up, I had 67 downloads. So, I mean, to me, it's like, I mean, that's okay to me, which, I mean, it sucks because, you know, so many other shows have thousands of downloads every single week. So, of course, I always look at that and go, man, I could do so much better. And then when I do an interview like I did with Teddy, I'm just like, fucking, man, if this is going to be this got to be the one. Like, I put out this type of content. One of them has to be the one where everybody goes, oh, shit, okay, this guy knows what he's talking about. He goes out of his way to really get guests and does what he can and really tries to provide a good show, a good entertaining thing, something that I would even like to listen back to. And a million of these shows that I've done, I wouldn't. So I'm always criticizing myself, trying to come up with the best thing. I thought the Teddy thing would work out really well. Like I said, 67 downloads before this went up. That YouTube clip that he put up until like a couple hours ago, I checked it. It had over 6,000 views between Sunday and today. And then obviously the math isn't phenomenal, but then the people who actually went from that and downloaded my Teddy interview, it went from 67 on Sunday to 117 today. So I think that kind of speaks for itself right there. That's a clear 50 new listeners, people who never heard anything out of me before. 50 people went and downloaded my show, and that's just phenomenal. I'm over the moon about that shit. And we're still only talking 117, you know, plus another 20 or so. So we're still only talking like 130 something listeners. So, and even if you combine all of that and it not being that much, it's still a million times better than I've done on so many other weeks. And like I said, I can only hope to keep this ball rolling as far as that goes, because that's substantial to me. That, you know, the 50 listeners on any given day is just not easy to come by. And I can hope that some of those 50 listeners like what they heard. They tune in this week. They tune in next week. They start telling their friends and all that stuff, because that's the only way that I can get this working. You know, I've been doing it for almost 2 years now. And the only way that I can keep this rolling, keep this going, and gather a huge listenership that I really, really want, is for people to spread the word and really help me make this work. So that's that. And big shout out again to TV Tracks. So anyway, and if anyone has any suggestions, something you as listeners hear that you feel like, dude, if you would have sent this to him, this would probably work, or this would work, or this would go well, I don't know. And I'm going to try to find, like, other avenues, too, that can post my stuff through YouTube, because the following and the listenerships on a YouTube is just through the roof, like, blows away any podcast. Like I said, 6,000 fucking views between Sunday and today. Dude, that's fucking crazy. I am 50 downloads between Sunday and today. Well, shit, I only had but 67 plus the live listeners in over a month. And in under a week, he almost fucking matched that with just turning new people on through his fucking stuff. So, I mean, I'm thrilled with that type of thing, man. That's really, really big stuff to me. So, hold on. I think Juan's sitting there on the line. Let me see what's up with him. Yo.
Yo.
Hey, what's up, man?
Oh, no. I was just listening.
All right. You just listening?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway,
I want to know what's going on for a couple of days. Shit. I mean, hope everything was all right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not gonna get too deep into that personal thing, but I'm gonna go into, you know, the tournament of death. I'm gonna go into all sorts of things and get on that. But I mean, if you were just gonna hang out and listen to stuff, I'll put you back on hold and I'll just keep rolling.
Oh no! Before you go put me on hold, you know, I was happy as hell to see Jigsaw on my TV.
Yeah, I heard about that, man. I haven't gotten it. It's on my DVR, but.
Yo, him and Sonji were going in. I was like, check this out. All right.
And from what I hear, there's another guy, too. So I'm not really sure because I'm not watching the show. So maybe keep me updated. And if something happens between now and the end of the show, which I'm sure it will.
Yeah, don't put me on hold. I can listen, though.
What?
I can still listen. Go ahead, man. What do you
got
to do?
Oh, okay. A lot of different things went on. I guess I'm probably just going to go right into the CZW show first and do that thing. So, Tournament of Death 11. It's so hard because, like, there's a lot of thoughts that come off of that show and just attending wrestling and my new thoughts on attending wrestling, but I'm probably going to get into more of doing the show first and then reflecting on that type of thing because And I don't want to jump the gun. The show started out with a three-way match, drunken scaffold match between Danny Havoc, Devin Moore, and Lucky 13. The coolest thing happened at the start of this match, and not saying nothing else of the match was cool because it was a really good match. I enjoyed it. A lot of fun, a lot of crazy spots. But was they decided... Georgie Boy, for anybody who knows him, George Hazar, he's moving to California. And that's like, I think after the Cash show. Cash show is his last show, so it's like September and then he's gone. Dude's a longtime fan, really good dude, you know, friends with a lot of the wrestlers because of, you know, the type of dude he is. Started out as a fan as me and anybody else, and just a really good dude to be around. And you know, regular dude. So they decided to put him in as the guest ref for the drunken scaffold match. And they made a stipulation that every time he had to make a count, so if he were to count, whether it was a one count, whether it was a two count, he had to take a shot of Jaeger. He had to take a swig off of the Jaeger bottle every time. So, that's what it was. And if anyone were to jump off a scaffold or get thrown off a scaffold or anything, once you climbed up there, you had to take a shot of that Jaeger because eventually you were coming off and that was part of it. So that type of thing. And Georgie was just getting fucking plastered because you imagine how many near falls and one counts and two counts happen in a wrestling match, especially a death match. And so it was fucking hilarious. And at the same token, like, what an honor that, you know, was bestowed upon him to actually be in a CZW ring. And I got to give, you know, whoever was responsible for that DJ and, you know, whoever else politic for that to happen, obviously just wasn't out of fucking DJ's heart. And, I mean, that's just such an honorable thing to do for a fan. You know, they do these fans bring the weapons, or fans bring the weapons. Well, they do that. They also do, you know, the fan appreciation shows. When they really, I don't know how many shitty fan appreciation shows I've been to. So it's like, you know, you sit through this and like, oh, they're appreciating us tonight. Oh, wow, this show sucks. You know, like they're not handing you anything. They're not giving you anything. You don't go home feeling like, I feel appreciated. Like, there's really nothing to that. But the biggest thing you could do for fan appreciation is just put on a fucking good show, because that's what they paid for. So that's the bottom line there. But like I said, to put Georgie Boy in the ring, I thought that was fucking cool as hell. And he played such a great character. It's just like, oh, fuck, what? How did I get into this shit? And fucking, like, you just see him, like, he'd go for the two, you know, one, two, three, or whatever. And you're one, two, and he'd be like, oh, fuck. Because he knew, oh, fucking more Jaeger. I mean, by the end of the day, Georgie was puking in the woods. And, but good times. And it was really good to me. I liked it quite a bit. Danny Havoc went over. Like I said, a lot of good spots. And that was good. Match two. Drake Younger beat Rory Mondo in an ultra-violent ladders match. It was a tribute to JC and Chris Gash. And Drake is, he's good at a lot of things. But one thing Drake has always been good at is, especially within these tributes that go to JC and stuff, is replicating spots that were done within JC Bailey matches. And I was just like, you know, that means a lot, because it's more than like, hey, whatever, this is for that guy. Like, no, I mean, he's replicating stuff that happened in matches of a similar nature to tribute that guy. I mean, there's so much more put into that, and I really respect that. Now, beyond that, Rory busted his fucking ass. Drake was Drake. You would expect nothing less than what Drake put out there. Rory busted his fucking ass. I mean, he went out there, he did his fucking thing. His match against Drake at Cage of Death was fucking phenomenal. Of course, it was pretty one-sided, and he got the shit kicked out of him. But he fucking held his own. He fucking didn't die in that match, which I think a lot of other guys who think they might be able to hang in the ring like that, they probably wouldn't fucking last through that. So, I mean, everybody needs to give this fucking guy more credit. But here's my problem with that. I think he needs to drop that fucking gimmick immediately. Fucking immediately. He could not drop that gimmick soon enough, because I was just watching matches last night. I had you know, my friend Steph over, and Jess isn't even a wrestling fan, and Steph and she's pregnant and putting blood matches in front of her, so that's clearly a really appetizing thing, but whatever. Steph, you know, she went to Tournament of Death with us, and she loves the deathmatch stuff. And her first thing was, you know, I started telling her about Nick Mondo, like, before I showed her, I decided to put in a Tournament of Death 2. So I was starting to go through that. What?
Saban? Word! He's on TV too! Oh, shit! He made it!
I don't know what you're telling me right now. So anyway.
Saban's on TV. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So yeah, Jesus on there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's who Burke was talking about, that's cool. So anyway, he's touring this motherfucker, tearing this shit up recently. Ryback, and then this shit, oh shit. But anyway, and I was showing Steph and him that shit, and I started to tell him about Nick Mondo, because I put in Tournament of Death 2, it was probably one of my favorite Tournament of Deaths. Probably my favorite. I mean, there's others that rival it and stuff, but everything was just so fresh back then. There wasn't, like, everything wasn't done already. And, of course, like, the biggest bump in CZW history happened in that show with Mondo and Zandig coming off the roof, and then Mondo fucking punctured arteries in his back, knocked out. All of this shit, broke his wrist prior to the show on another CZW arena show. And, you know, went into that fucking shit anyway and fucking closed out his career with a phenomenal tournament. But either way, so I'm trying to explain to Steph about, you know, who he is as we're going into the match, as he's coming out, and explaining, oh, well, this is, you know, where Rory's gimmick came from. This is all that. And she goes, like, I thought that, like, she's like, I never seen this guy before or anything, but, like, when I heard Little Mondo and then people yelling, you're not Mondo, and, you know, all of this stuff and stuff, her first thought was, well, that must be his father they're talking about. Or Big Brother, or something like that. So, that's the fucking gimmick, that's the image that is given off from this angle, from this whole fucking gimmick, and it's ridiculous. Not only do you get that from a casual fan who doesn't know, and, you know, I get it, because I remember when Nick Mondo put him on his shoulders, and, you know, he was dressed up as Nick Mondo, he had the UFOs on, he had fucking, you know, he had the wrist tape on. He had the sick written on his forehead. He had the whole shit going. His hair spiked up, the whole nine. And I remember, you know, Mondo pulling him out of the crowd over there and fucking putting him on his shoulders and walking around pointing at him. And that was awesome, you know, to be an 11-year-old kid or, you know, whatever the case is. I mean, that's fucking great. But to turn that into now, here you're busting your ass. You're legitimately falling through glass. You're legitimately falling on ladders, doing all sorts of things that brings legitimate pain to your body. And then this is something you have to deal with, and you're trying to gain respect from the fans who are probably the most bitter and fucking, and I'll get back to these motherfuckers in a minute. But after I'm done with this show, can you stop doing whatever the fuck you're doing? Because this is why I wanted to meet you.
Sorry.
So... and what it is you're giving someone else credit for you killing yourself in the ring. Okay, you like Nick Mondo. That's really great and everything, but that doesn't mean a goddamn thing when it comes down to it, because fucking other people like Nick Mondo too, but now they want to see new talent. You're one of them. And, I couldn't do that anymore. So that's, you know, you're hurting your own shit. You're busting your ass in the ring. You're fucking killing yourself out there. And who's getting the fucking credit? Who's going, oh, fucking, guess what? You're not Nick Mondo. You're still not Nick Mondo. Nick Mondo killed himself for 3 fucking years and left the business. I don't take anything away from what he actually did in the ring. But when it comes right down to it, it was a 3-year flash in the fucking pan of a career. It was a fucking brutal 3 years, but it was 3 fucking years. I would imagine Rory is going to have a longer career than that. Does he want to give every fucking day of that career an identity that doesn't revolve around a guy who worked for fucking 3 years? I would hope so. I would really hope he had enough respect for what he's going to put into that ring for the rest of his career that he would find his own identity and make that happen. Not because, hey, you're not fucking Nick Mondo, because you know what? You could be fucking better easily. I think there's a whole shitload of wrestlers, deathmatch wrestlers, and of course otherwise, that are far, far better than fucking Nick Mondo's legacy, because 3 years does not equal what the Necro Butcher has done. 3 years does not equal what Drake Younger has done. Danny Havoc has done. I mean, there's so many guys out there, and, you know, fucking JC Bailey far, far eclipsed what Nick Mondo did. And he was a guy at the time where they were looking like, oh, here's, you know, young J.C. Bailey and Nick Mondo going at it, similar styles. You know, they both have UFOs on. I mean, that's kind of irrelevant, but either way. And then, you know, look at him go. This is the future. This is the future. Well, fucking, you know, 2-3 years later, Nick Mondo's gone. J.C. Bailey continued to represent all over the fucking place until he wasn't here anymore. And, you know, rest in peace, J.C. I actually read some stuff earlier in the week, man, that fucking JC's dad and JC's sister went to his grave, and, you know, some scumbags had the audacity to actually, like, egg this guy's grave, his tombstone and all that. And that's just such a sad thing that someone would even go to that extent. It's such a coward thing to do. And, I mean, JC was such a great dude. He has a great, great family out there, and it's so disrespectful and terrible. And I just really want to keep his name in a positive light and try to make people remember what a phenomenal athlete and what a phenomenal competitor and person outside of the ring that JC was. And I hate to hear shit like that, because there's no respect in that. There's no tough edge to that. You don't get any credit for doing that type of thing in your life. You're walking around a fucking coward forever. Someone who would never step into his face and say something negative, but then has the balls to just egg somebody's grave. I mean, that's fucking despicable. So that's that there. But anyway, okay. So that's my thing on Rory. I really, really think he needs to ditch that shit. So Drake went over. Brutal match, great stuff. Next match was Masada defeating the debuting Scott Summers. And this guy is fucking another guy who I want to see a lot more of in CZW. Scott Summers is a fucking beast. He went at it with Masada, and man, fucking, you know, he's not the tallest dude in the world, but he's got some good build on him. He could fucking handle himself. He's a wrestler as well as being, you know what I mean? Like, he's not just okay, we got another big guy that'll take a light tube to the face. Like, no, I mean, this guy can fucking wrestle, and he could do some pretty cool shit in the ring, and it'll be innovative, and it'll be different, and it'll be, you know, outside of the norm. And another guy to shake shit up, because we're obviously severely, severely in need of deathmatch wrestlers that are actual wrestlers. I mean, those two words have to both exist, because just being a deathmatch guy, that's not going to work for a deathmatch worker, as far as I'm concerned. Guys that are just going to swing light tubes at each other's head and hit each other in the face with VCRs, I don't think that's good enough. I'm sorry, that's just not good enough. And that's not me being a dick. It's me having more respect for the deathmatch wrestling than a lot of other fucking fans do. And then you can't just be a wrestler, because obviously there has to be a good amount of risk-taking. And you can't just, you know, launch yourself into that and be like, oh, I pressed my back on the barbed wire 3 times, so now we're going to, okay, I gigged, I pressed myself on barbed wire, put me in the tournament. Like, come on, dude, this is bullshit. No, I mean, you have to be a sick fuck, but I also love to see athleticism that's added to that and actually makes it more credible. So that's where I go with that. I like the guy a lot. Was fucking, man, he took this pile driver on cinder blocks from Masada, and it was like a piece of his fucking head was gone. Like, you've seen his fucking scalp peel back and shit. It was fucking brutal. And he didn't act for any worse aware. Like, the dude really just walked around like, all right then, fuck it, that happens. It was just like another day at the office, you know. I like that guy. I want to see him back. And that's that. Abdullah Kobayashi beat Matt Tremont with the help of DJ Hyde interfering. I wanted to see. See, here's the thing I had said previously on the show, that I did not want to see this in the first round. I think it's ridiculous. I think the tournament was going to suffer for the sake of Tremont or Kobayashi, especially Kobayashi, going out first round. You know, the big Japan deathmatch champion, he's going to come over here and just lose first round because there's a stipulation where Tremont's going to fight DJ if he wins the tournament. Like, who gives a fuck about anybody fighting DJ? Let's fucking take off the table this option or this thought that, oh man, fucking, if you win this, you get to fight DJ. No one cares. The fucking fans don't care. And that doesn't look like a prize. That doesn't look like something to be obtained. Just because he's the quote-unquote fucking owner, and he's supposed to be the big boss, no one gives a fuck about someone wrestling DJ. Ever. That's something DJ will never get through his fucking head until he doesn't have a company and no one fucking books him in the main event. No one books him on a card where he's highlighted. No one books him as a, you get to wrestle this, and if you win that, you get to wrestle DJ. No, fucking DJ's the hurdle that someone has to cross at best, and then they get to wrestle someone legitimate. So this is what he doesn't get. This is what he won't fucking get. And I guess we're just going to be tortured with it because DJ owns the company. So that's fine. We can just keep fucking doing that. But brutal fucking match. You know, Abdullah started, did the fucking bite the light tube in half, and fucking Tremont countered it and bit a light tube in half too. Like, hey, I'll fucking hang with you. So, I mean, yeah, they went back and forth. Great stuff. Brutal fucking match. Love that shit. And, yeah, from what I hear, G's just beat Scorpio Sky on TV. And I think that's fucking awesome. It's just fantastic shit, man. Nell is tearing it up. Oh, sorry. G's is tearing it up. And I couldn't be happier for the dude. I know there's a lot of times where he's been disgruntled and, you know, really just fed up with the business and just hard to get over with these little bullshit indie promoters and all that. That just want to put themselves over and all these other stuff. But in the same token, being as consistent as he always has been, eventually you're going to get looked at. Of course, it's a harder route to travel because you're not the guy that's just getting over for 10 minutes on an indie show, through spots or through whatever's making that promoter happy. And then eventually you fade away anyway. It's a guy that's being consistent in what he does for years and really not being noticed. And then now you see everybody's paying attention. Now you see that, you know, fucking goes in there, wrestles Ryback. Obviously, you know what happens there because it's fucking a Ryback match, but it's being on WWE TV. And that's something that a lot of people would do any fucking thing to be a security guard, to be in the front row, to be fucking anywhere around that fucking ring, let alone be wrestling in that ring, whether it be for 2 minutes or fucking 15 minutes. Obviously, you'd rather the 15, but to be in that fucking ring, these guys bust their ass to fucking get there, and he did. He fucking did. And he impressed, from what I hear, he impressed a lot of people backstage, so let's hope for some future stuff there. He goes in there in fucking TNA, and now he's in there, too. He's fucking around there. And I'm sure he's going to impress down there. So this is what he deserves. And it's fucking a long time coming. And he's composed himself. He's held shit together, even though I know he wanted to blow up on many and many occasions. And it's well deserved. So I really hope that he finds a spot so I do get to see this guy on my TV on a regular fucking basis. So big, big shout out to that dude. And I know he's going to hear it. So that's what it is. So. Then, coming off of that, then you got non-tournament Joe Gacy beating Ryan Slater. I saw online where a lot of people gave this match a whole lot of credit. I don't get it. I haven't rewatched it yet, but seeing it live, it was the sloppiest shit on the entire fucking tournament. In my opinion, it's what gives deathmatch wrestling a bad name. It's horribly executed moves. It's a bunch of just swinging shit. It's an overcrowded ring full of weapons where people can't fucking move. And it's just fucking mayhem. It's like there's no order to it. There's no control. There's just fucking smash, smash. Oh, that move was fucked up. What the fuck were they going for there? Oh, that's a bunch of shit. I don't understand how a guy like fucking Joe Gacy has not gotten better within all this amount of time in the ring. I can't fucking get it. 1 month he'll look halfway decent, next month complete shit again. And this is what it is. So now we're adding fucking dangerous shit. I'm waiting for Blood Part 2 where somebody cuts half of their fucking leg open because they're just doing reckless shit in the ring. So I don't really give any credit to that. I think it's pretty ridiculous. And, I don't know. I'll watch it again on DVD and hopefully I'll see something that I could give some sort of credit to. I love Joe Gacy's fucking, his shirt. It was a Child's Play 2 shirt. I'm a Chucky Mark. So, I mean, that's all I could really say positively towards this match. Oh yeah, of course. Dangerous stuff, tough stuff, fucking ballsy stuff to be doing, but yeah, fucking no rhyme or reason behind it. No, I don't, why the fuck? I just don't get it. So anyway, next match was Drake Younger beating Danny Havoc at a Caribbean Spider Pit Death Match. I thought this was really good. Another back-and-forth match of two guys that are no stranger to each other. They went in, they beat the shit out of each other, took a lot of crazy fucking bumps. And just good stuff as far as I'm concerned. This is one of those things. And then, you know, Havoc, you know, told Younger after the match, win the damn thing, like, you know, fuck it, man. you beat me, fucking, we went at it, now you go ahead and take this motherfucker home, like, that type of, you know, respect. So that was good. Masada versus Abdullah Kobayashi. Masada went over. This was, you know, just another one of these matches that, to me, I'm going to hold back on what I have to say about Masada until after this thing. But this was a big Japan-style death match. Really, psychology, a lot of work put into it, sick shit, crazy stuff, but done in a way where it all made sense. All right, so then you had the finals of Masada winning the tournament for the second year in a row against Drake Younger. Ultraviolent joint to repeat, first time ever, be two time in a row. Wife Beater won two. The only one who won two in a row would be Masada now. And, yeah, they beat the fucking shit out of each other. Drake's fucking face was unbelievably bloody. He just had such a crazy crimson mask. It was insane. And you really didn't know who was going to win that. And there was definitely a point where Masada was bleeding profusely from his arm. And they were acting as if they were probably going to call it. And they kept it going. And they kept it going. Masada ended up getting the win. Hyde comes out, starts with the fucking blah, 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 here's your trophy. And then, you know, fucking, of course, DJ Hyde has to get himself over. So then he gets into it, and he starts with the fucking, you know, attacking Masada and all that bullshit. But this is another example, and he clearly got a receipt for it. Fucking DJ Hyde had, you know, now it's being painted. DJ Hyde had the worst injury of the day, and he had to be fucking medevaced out and all this other bullshit. You know, not helicopter, but, you know, like he had to be fucking, you know, ambulanced out and fucking everybody get out of here so we can get DJ out of here. And, oh, my God, he's so hurt. It's like, I mean, and I really don't know. I have to watch it back to see whether the injury was legit or not. I'm not really doubting that it was or it wasn't, because, of course, there's tons of glass. The very end of the tournament, of course, there's tons of glass and fucking danger and shit in the ring, so anything can happen. But in my opinion, it goes right back to DJ never belonged in the ring at all. He's the fucking owner. Why don't you just focus on making the company fucking better instead of, I need to now get involved? Oh, man. People have been cheering for everybody else for too long. I need to get in there. I got to be involved. I got to be involved. You're like a fucking spoiled kid that just has to have every toy in the fucking room, whether that's their favorite shit or they even wanted to play with that. Somebody else has it, so now I want it. I deal with this fucking shit with my twins all day long. One of them picks something up. The other one comes flying from across the room. I want it. Like, you didn't fucking want it when it was on the ground, and now it's all you have to have it. That's DJ's attitude on how he books his fucking company. He's got to be involved. Oh, my God. Tremont's getting a push. Well, you know, not even a push, because, yeah, he dictates who's getting a push. Tremont's getting over. The fans are loving Tremont. Oh, fuck. I got to be part of Tremont's shit now. Oh, Sammy's getting over. Fucking got to be part of Sammy's shit now. Oh, this is happening. Fuck. Oh, Masada. Oh, I got to be part of this now. Like, this is the shit that does not need to happen. It's fucking ridiculous. It's completely pointless. And if you get hurt in the fucking process of doing some shit that already didn't make any sense storyline-wise, nobody in the crowd is asking for you. Nobody's looking for you, man. Nobody is looking for you. So if all of that fucking makes sense to you and you really feel it's necessary and you just have to fucking be involved, then go ahead, man. But you're not helping the show one bit. Okay, now Masada. Let me talk about Masada for a minute, and then I'm going to get into these fucking fans. A lot of people shit on Masada, and I have been guilty of this in the past too, because one thing that is true is if you see two people in a ring and they're doing a death match, and one of the two is fucking destroyed, and the other guy, he's got a little blood on his forehead, got a couple nicks here and there, but the other guy just looks like he got thrown into a wood chipper. Well, obviously you're going to go, man, that other fucking guy didn't take any fucking abuse there. And that's a lot of what goes on. that's a lot of what goes on. So you see that on the surface and you go, oh, well, you know. And there's guys and there's different roles, different, completely different roles within wrestling. And, of course, within wrestling as a whole. But within deathmatch wrestling, it's no different. There's guys that are only good at taking bumps. And, you know, there's definitely guys that are just that. They're just fucking bump machines. That's all they are. So now that person, of course, is going to take more abuse because that's what they do. That's what they're good at, and that's why, you know, why they're there, honestly. Because they wouldn't fucking be there for their wrestling ability. They wouldn't be there for their match psychology. They wouldn't be there for anything else but their ability to fucking die. Like, fucking fall off a roof, go through a fucking this, go through a that, just get thrown all over the fucking place and get hit with the most dangerous shit in the world. That's what those guys are for. That's what they're meant for. So a guy like Masada now, here's what Masada's good for, that a lot of people just, nope, he doesn't take enough punishment. He sucks. That guy sucks. Take a bump. You suck. Fucking, oh, his fucking shirt on. And, you know, everybody's got a fucking something to say. Of course, nobody out there is taking fucking bumps. They're sitting there. And that's why, like, a lot of what I do with this show and a lot of what I say, I feel like I'm a far, far different fan from a lot of these fucking people. This is why I'm done with this regular fucking attendance shit. It costs me ridiculous amounts of money. But you know what Masada's fucking good at? Match psychology. He's the best fucking deathmatch wrestling psychologist that is in fucking independent wrestling right now. There's nobody better in the U.S. that knows how to work a match scientifically with deathmatch elements and build up and start off doing something slow. And then work into it. And then by the end of the match, be doing one of the craziest fucking things you've ever seen. Hence, like, the pile driver on the cinder blocks. Who would have thought of that? Now, there's other guys that will just come out there and take repeated fucking, you know, take, like, the Eddie Guerrero Three Amigos on the cinder blocks. And then fucking get hit in the face with a bundle of light tubes. And then get hit with this. And then they get hit with this. And then, you know, every fucking move is a finisher. How the fuck do you follow that on a card? There's no fucking rhyme or reason to any of it. It's just move, fucking no selling all over the place. Like, there's shit that makes sense within Masada's matches. Now, again, he might not be taking the biggest bump of the match, but are you guys really being fucking deprived of violence because of Masada's matches? Like, are you watching these matches and then going, man, that just wasn't violent enough? Like, he's fucking playing his role. The guy he's wrestling is playing their role. You're getting a fucking brutal death match. What is your fucking problem? And this is it. And this is exactly it. This is why I have such a problem with these fucking fans. And this is why I'm fucking, you guys go ahead. You guys fucking sit around the ring and you fucking yell about shit being boring 35 seconds into a match. You fucking wait 35 seconds into a fucking match and you start screaming about how you want fire. You want fucking fire, you want light tubes, you want a handgun, you want fucking everything you want. You motherfuckers won't take a fucking bump. And maybe this is the problem that I'm having. I've gotten to the point where I don't fucking have the tolerance that maybe I used to. I don't have the tolerance anymore. I'm feeling more aggressive. I'm feeling far more fucking willing to turn around and smack one of these people in their fucking face. And of course that's not the right thing to do. And of course that's the last thing that I actually want to do. Like, before leaving for a show, never even crosses my mind, like, hey, I might punch somebody in their face tonight. And it's ridiculous. So then when you get there and then you get this fucking anger built up in you because, wow, none of these fucking people respect any of this shit. I don't even know why they fight. Who knows how long they drove to get here or how long they've even been coming, you know? And a lot of times I get the feeling it's like they stumbled upon this and now they're just going to heckle it all day. It doesn't matter. And then they're going to go do something else tomorrow and something else the next day. And none of it even matters. None of the punishment that these guys go through matters. None of it means anything to them. They don't take anything away from this. So like, oh, wow, I surely got my fucking money's worth because half of these people are sitting in, you know, second, third row and all this. So we're talking like $20-25. And then would you look what these guys put themselves through all day? No, fucking, I wanted more fire for my $20. Like, suck a dick, you motherfucker. I'm so tired of these fucking fans. And it goes across the fucking board of regular wrestling. It goes across the board of deathmatch wrestling severely. And this is why. Take your fucking shit money and you go fucking feed it to the company. And then you as a fucking company, you fucking deal with these little scumbags that are going to crowd around your fucking ring and disrespect your wrestlers for fucking 3 hours. Because this is what you're left with. And I'm just... I don't have the tolerance for this shit anymore. I'll do my best to do the big shows because they're still worth it. Even if the fucking fans don't respect it, it's still worth it. But I'm the one that's going every fucking month putting up with the shit shows that these people don't have to watch. They show up fucking two or three times a fucking year to the big shows, and then they shit on that because they don't understand how fucking bad it could be. They don't understand how what a shitty match looks like. They don't understand any of that shit because they're fucking fly-by-night fans. They just pop up at the fucking biggest shows, and then they fucking talk shit. They run their little fucking mouths for the entire fucking venue, the entire event, fucking 30 seconds, a minute into a fucking Masada match. We're on fire! This fucking sucks! It, like, do you know how many fucking tournaments, death matches, all of this that are put on, and it's just too fat fuck swinging shit at each other's faces? If that's a better fucking match than you, then to make a move. I don't need this shit. I don't need to fucking be surrounded by a bunch of douchebags that don't respect what the fuck I am. Obviously, it's not going to be me and 30 other people who respect the wrestling, and that's gonna keep the company afloat. So I know you're going to get as many douchebags, probably more douchebags, then you have fucking people who actually enjoy what the fuck they're going to. And I criticize the fuck out of ZZW, but I criticize shit that actually sucks. Not like, fucking do better, like immediately, like fucking let's go. And like, I don't know, like half of the bullshit that they're chanting and they're saying and they're really demanding is fucking completely unreasonable. Really, really unreasonable. So, I mean, that's just me, and that's why, like, I don't want to do this shit on a regular basis anymore. I don't want to attend shows on a regular basis anymore because I've had enough. Like, wrestling audience, as a 34-year-old dude, a wrestling audience, and this is at any age, but here's how I see it now, is a very hostile environment. Obviously, they're seeing violence in the ring. A lot of these shows, you know, involve alcohol. So that's going to, you know, ratchet everything up quite a bit. Then add to that, that these guys don't have a fucking clue on how to do any of this stuff. And it all becomes just a movie screen to them. It all becomes just something that they can stare at and yell at and nothing happens. And no one yells back. And then they become just as disrespectful to the people around them and everything else. And it's really just the same old stuff as far as Tournament of Death. It's not like anything within the fans actually happened that like threw me over the edge or anything like that. Like, I mean, my personal thing, whatever happened that I'm not going to address, has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, nothing to do with my decisions and my reasons for saying what I'm saying. And I'm just not going to address that. But I mean, there's shit like even like the start of the show, I'll address this fucking, here's the situation. For all these years of going to CZW, whatever it is, 11 years, something like that, 11, 12 years, whatever it is, going to CZW, I never had to pre-buy my tickets. They would always hold them for me, and I'd pay for them at the door. Now, a handful of times, and I mean like a handful, maybe two handfuls of times I've missed CZW shows. And I never like, yeah, I'm going, and then just, I never show up, and you're beat for the fucking tickets. Like, always a day or so, a day or two beforehand, I would, you know, I'd be trying up until the last day, going, I gotta get a ride, I gotta get this, I gotta get that. It was always me hustling and doing my fucking best to get there. So, I would say 95% of the time over, what is it, fucking 12 years, I have been there. Now, for all of a sudden, I get a notification on Facebook when I ask Sabine about the tickets, and it's like, oh, well, DJ needs all the money up front now, from now on. There's a new policy. I'm like, wow, that's fucked up, right? So I'm like, all right. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, if people are burning you and shit and you have to put it right across the board, it's obviously not me beating you because, honestly, I'm one of the most loyal fucking fans. I'm pretty sure I was attending before DJ was when it comes right down to it. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong there. I don't really care. Pretty close in proximity, I'd imagine. Either way. So I'm like, fine. You know, I mean, if you got to start a new policy across the board because maybe a couple people are beating you. Okay, immediately. Send her the money immediately. Fucking PayPal that shit over, right? For a ticket. So then I get, well, then there's like a week that goes by, maybe roughly something like that. And all of a sudden I see her post on the Facebook. All TOD tickets have been sent out. More tickets will be available and you can pre-order them and pay for them, but you'll have to pick them up at the door type thing. She makes a, you know, just general announcement. So now like 3-4 days go by. I still ain't getting a motherfucking ticket. Like, she's shipping them from the same state I live in. I'm like, what the fuck? So I send her a message. Did you send my tickets or am I picking them up at the door? So then she messaged me back. Well, I'm going to send them tomorrow. Next day, she sends them and gives me confirmation number, all that bullshit. 2 days later, I get my tickets. Well, I get, like I said, I ordered 4 tickets. Paid for 4 tickets. I get 5 tickets. So now it's like, well, I know I didn't pay for this extra ticket. They're all front row either way. But I'm not going to be a douchebag and be like, all right, who else wants to go? I got one more ticket. Like, nah, like, all right. Clearly something's wrong. So let me, you know, email her. So I send her a message and say, yo, I got one more ticket than I paid for. So, I mean, how do you want to handle this? What do you want to do? So she goes, okay, you know, we'll just, you know, I told her what numbers and stuff. And she's like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah, I gave you the ones. So then I get there and she's like, oh, yeah. Well, you know, we'll handle it when you get there. So then I get there and, you know, you got to like give the tickets at the gate, like where you pull your car in. So she's like, well, just give me those tickets. And then when I get the other tickets, I'll bring them to you. So now we go fucking park the car. Now I'm in there with no tickets. So now for anyone like checking tickets, I look like an asshole with a story to tell because I was courtesy. You know, I had enough courtesy to do the right thing and contact her and make sure that nobody was getting beat for tickets and everybody got their shit back and all that shit. So now I'm the asshole walking around like, fuck, I don't have any tickets. Now anyone who does ask me anything, now I got to fucking try to explain myself rather than just have my fucking tickets because I fucking prepaid for them. And I had them in my hand, only one more than I paid for. So there's that, right? So then I go sit, like, on the side that we normally sit. There's a big open row of chairs. And I'm just like, well, this looks about, like, where we would be. So, of course, I sit there. The tickets never, ever fucking come to me. I to this fucking minute, have not gotten the fucking those tickets. It's not at one point in that day did we get delivered fucking tickets as told. So then we sit down. So then this little arrogant asshole in a fucking Washington Redskins jersey, who's like half my fucking size, comes walking up with his fucking people. Fucking, I think these are my seats. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm, you know, and then, you know, security comes running over, whatever. And I'm like, they asked me, you know, what numbers are your tickets? And I said, listen. I said, I might be in the wrong spot. And I explained the whole thing. Because, of course, now I have a story to tell instead of just sitting in my seats when I prepaid for my shit. So this is just, like, really, like, stupid handling of something. So that's that. And it's like, fucking, okay. The whole thing becomes, like, a huge inconvenience for me because normally I would just pick up my shit at the gate. You'd hand me the right tickets. I go sit in my seat. And a fucking story. Now it's, you know, prepay for your shit. We'll send you the wrong tickets. And I'm not, yeah, not for one second do I think, oh, this is how it's always going to be. Like, this is just how it happens now. Like, no, I understand it's a mistake, but I catch the fucking, the shit end of this. So now this asshole is like talking shit to me. Like I'm some asshole that doesn't come to shows on a regular basis. Not like, you know, the dude that only missed fucking tournament is F1 and I think like 8.5 or whatever the fuck. I don't know. What's it? Yeah, I think 8.5. Whatever the Dustin Lee one was. I don't even think it was 8.5. It was like the first one, like rewind, fast forward. I don't remember which one came first, but whatever Dustin Lee like caught that chunk out of his back, I missed that one, and Tournament of Death 1. And besides that, I've been to every fucking one of them. So this little jerk off comes in, now he's fucking talking. And I said, you know, settle down for a minute, dude, because, you know, they're going to go figure it out. Everything will be fine. You'll have your seats, man. And I told, you know, Shawnee, I said, you know, Sabine, this, I might be in the wrong seats. Just steer me in the right direction. She hasn't brought me tickets yet to know what numbers I'm in. He goes, oh, okay. Let me go check. So now he goes to check, and now here's asshole fucking standing there talking shit to me. Hey, so what numbers are your seats anyway? I said, we're good, man. We're good. And he goes, how are we good if you're sitting in my seats? And I turned, I fucking smirked at him, and I said, you better settle down. And I just fucking turned back like nothing was happening and just fucking sat there. But you know what I mean? Like, I got fucking people talking shit to me. Why? Why? Because the company dropped the ball? This is the type of atmosphere that a wrestling show is. So when things are mishandled, the hostility boils over. So it goes from like those type of things to like then all day you got fucking people screaming, I want the ring set on fire. This is bullshit. Like, hey, you paid fucking $20 or $30. Like, shut your fucking mouth and try to enjoy this shit. Hey, you feel like motherfuckers tied them to a chair and dropped them off there and was like, fucking, you're supposed to be seeing a children's movie. And they're like, this fucking sucks. Like, they have no respect. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And it's just really annoying. I mean, you get these little fucking kids screaming the same shit that their asshole parents are screaming. You're on fire, fucking, like, screaming, yo, you fucking suck, like, you know, and then, yeah, you get your random fucking drunk dudes going, oh, that fucking little girl's awesome. I'm like, dude, my fucking kids ever talk like that. That shit is not going to end well. And then it's like, oh, that's just encouraged. And then, like, you know, 10 minutes later, here, when we get home, I'm going to teach you how to do this. Like, I fucking hate you people. That's the thing. Like, I, the majority of the fucking wrestling fans that I have to be surrounded by, with the exception of a good handful of people that, like, you know, I enjoy and I know personally and they actually act like they give a fuck, are just the fucking lowest form of life that you can ever fucking imagine. You know, and honestly, I would expect anybody who's listening to this to not catch offense, because I would imagine that most of these people can't operate a computer, an iPod, or anything else that you would hear this through. So I really don't think that they're even going to get this fucking message and I'm going to lose listeners, because they're just fucking ridiculous. I've legitimately heard fucking fathers, and not joking, tell their fucking little ass kid that's sitting behind us, I'm going to teach you this when we get home. It's fucking, it's deplorable. They should have fucking child protection service at the fucking door. And when you go to walk in the door with that kid, they should just fucking haul you out of there and find the kid a new home. It's like, oh, fucking 200 light tube death match. Yeah, where's me and my kid sitting? In the fucking, your kid's sitting in a new home and you're sitting in a fucking jail cell, you fucking retard. You know? I have children, and I enjoy this as my entertainment, but when it becomes like, this is a fucking family show to me, like, yeah, you're a degenerate, and I can't stand these fucking people. So, that's that. That's my spiel on fucking Tournament of Death and everything goes there. I think I need to break this. I actually screamed my fucking head off on Saturday, and I'm still having some residuals, and where my voice still isn't completely right. So, yeah, let me take a break. Get a drink, come back to this, and got more to talk about.
Woo! Check it out, yo, 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 coming to your dive, smoke the five fillies with my niggas from the Hooterville. And now my niggas from the weak way. World is tall. Somebody said you make the weed, motherfucker. We gon' set it off like this. Like I had cerebral palsy, my blows be wet like all you girls draw, see? Crack the bills, spread the food and in the hit bag. Rolling up and in that, who tipping for the tin bag, etc. I roll my blunts with two textures. Pick up 50 bags and then I smoke all the extra. It's the truth, like fuck with any proof. No, drop your jaws, I fuck through, your lady new. Put your fingers up in
Shit was about to die out this motherfucker, so it would have been a far longer pause if I didn't do that right now. So yeah, I think we're all good, we're all plugged in now and shit. So anyway, Louis C.K. show comes back on tonight, fucking 10:30 on FX and shit. That's off the hook, man, because Louis is one of my favorite fucking comedians. It's Louis C.K. and Bill Burr are probably like just neck and neck, like whoever does the shit last, like. It's usually Bill Burr because he's got the Monday morning podcast, so, like, I hear him at least once a week with some new shit and just ranting and raving, so I fucking love me some Bill Burr. Fucking Louis C.K., he's fucking phenomenal. And you like to fucking laugh, pick up fucking Bill Burr, Louis C.K., any one of their albums, they're all fucking gold. There's no, like, his early stuff sucked and now it's good. Like, none of that shit like applies. Like, all their shit is really good. Bill Burr's Monday Morning Podcast. Louis C.K.'s got his Louis Show. That's the new season starts tonight, 10:30 FX. Check that shit out. It's fucking really, really funny stuff. That's that. What else do I have? Oh, New Jack. He's been on fire lately. This guy, man, he everybody knows fucking New Jack is one outspoken motherfucker, always has been, and I don't think that's gonna change anytime soon. So that's what that is. I mean, this fucking guy, they got the Extreme Rising. You know, I'm such a huge fan of that bullshit. They got a doubleheader thing going on this weekend. they kind of changed the shape of this a little bit from the first one. The first one was just ECW again, right, bro? Yeah, fucking more ECW. You damn right it is. Like, who fucking cares? Now all of a sudden they added Sabu again. So again, we really give a fuck. So anyway, well, here's the card. I'll give you the card, and then you know, from there we'll go. On the 29th, I guess this is Friday, June 29th, Corona, New York. I don't even know where that is. Jerry Lynn versus Matt Hardy. Devin Storm versus Homicide. Bestia 666 versus Pesadilla. Stevie Richards versus Luke Hawks, otherwise known as Altar Boy Luke back in the day. The Blackout versus the Dramatics, or the SAT, whatever you want to call them. And like I said, I heard, you know, Sabu has been added to that shit. So there's that too. Then you got the big Saturday show, which is in Philly, and the I think the National Guard Armory. You got Homicide versus Jerry Lynn, the Gangsters, New Jack, and Mustafa versus the Blackout of Black G's. You can see them on TV tonight, and then they're on Saturday and Ruckus. And you got the Dramatics versus the FBI. You got Luke Hawks versus Stevie Richards. You got other stuff too. More to be announced. But New Jack has been on fire. I tried to download these promos for whatever reason. They weren't letting me. It wasn't converting right for me, so I wasn't able to. I was going to play a couple of them tonight because this shit has been fire. If you're friends with him, just go down his wall and just check his promos out. I think that's the only way you could see him is if you're friends with a dude. And I know he's real temperamental as shit, so he might fucking be your friend 1 minute and then make a comment or something. He'll delete you and shit. But for now, I'm his friend. And I'm really, really enjoying his fucking promos because one thing about New Jack is, well, I mean, Billy Rail said he's a lot better of a wrestler than he gets credit for. So that's something I don't know. But in the same token, I'd never consider him a great wrestler. I'd consider him one of the best promo guys in the business, though, because, I mean, he gets so fired up and into it and so real. And you know that this dude is legitimately dangerous. Like, he'll fucking seriously kill somebody. Like, he, you know, he's fucking stabbed people in the ring. That old mass transit incident, too. He fucking hit Gypsy Joe's old ass with a fucking aluminum bat in his head. I mean, the dude is off the fucking wall. So you never know, like, how serious he might be, because he's one of the most serious fucking people to ever be in the business. I mean, I really don't see people take it to the level that he's taking it to when he's upset in a ring. So, but his promos were so fucking fired up about, you know, the Blackout match. And great, great shit. Beyond that, he did one joint where, I mean, again, check this out, and I reposted a lot of them on my wall too, but again, I don't know if you play them unless you're friends. I've had problems with this today. He had one promo where he walked through the arena, like currently. And I haven't seen anyone who posted any type of pictures or footage of what the inside of the arena has looked like since, you know, the last shows and the arena evolve and, you know, all that shit. So he walked into the arena, which is crazy because, like, I knew that they had some shit that went down that was, like, fucking him and Roger, from what I had heard, didn't get along. And, like, there was some shit where he threatened Roger's wife at the concession stand. And, like, he was banned from the building and, like, all the cops and all this other shit. And then, like, they just show him, like, on his video, just, like, walk up to the door. Roger lets him in. Fucking they hug. He's like, oh, yo, you had so much to do with all this shit. Yeah, baby. Hell yeah, fucking. And then, like, they hug it out, and then they fucking stroll around the fucking building and reminisce type shit. And it's crazy. The balcony's gone. The stage. The fucking all that shit. Completely gone. The concession stand, the bathrooms, the locker rooms. It's like this huge empty fucking space, just clear. clear. Like that little fucking overhang shit when you walk in, gone. Fucking everything gone, gone, gone. You would not be able to tell that shit from being the arena unless, I mean, maybe, you know, you can pick out a few things with those, you know, those big fans in the up, you know, upper part of the wall structure. And that's a, I mean, I don't really know, but it's fucking amazing to see that. And he's walking around and, you know, he's talking about how ECW is dead more so now than it ever was because this was the final nail in the coffin. And like he said, it's like being part of a, like seeing a dead body. He's like, because when somebody dies, they take them to the morgue and they rip its insides out and they gut that person and they close it back up. And that's what seeing that building was like, was just taking it, just gutting it, taking everything that meant something inside of it out and just leaving it like that. And that's how that fucking building looked. It looked like a shell of its former self. It just looked like a big, empty fucking space. I'm sure they have tons of plans for it, but in the same token, it's fucking weird to see that shit like that, man. Like, wow. But, I mean, check that shit out. So then he's got another promo where he's standing outside of it. And he goes, I was just in there and, you know, starts talking about ECW this and ECW that and all the things that went on with ECW and how, you know, it's never going to be the same again and all that stuff. And then he's like, but this isn't a promo about that. And then he goes in on fucking Homicide about Homicide had pissed on the arena, like in a promo or some shit like that. I don't really know exactly what promo he's talking about. I was thinking, like, earlier when I was thinking about it, there was a Cage of Death where they did a doubleheader with Jersey All-Pro. And I don't remember, it was, like, probably 2 years ago now or some shit like that. I don't remember time like that. So, but they did that, and they did some kind of thing where Moth had pissed on the building. And was like, you know, saying, fuck all these people, fuck this building, all this. I think, like, I forget who they were going to, but, like, they were cutting a promo, like, yo, fuck everything that happened here, we're the Hit Squad, this and that. And I don't remember whether Homicide had part of that promo or whether it's just something completely different. But that was just, like, the first thing that popped into my mind was, you know, Moff and Monster Mag and maybe Homicide being attached to that. I know there was also issues, too, so I don't think it was that one because something happened where Homicide didn't work for Jersey All-Pro that day, but he worked for CZW that night, which is really weird because that's not like, I mean, Homicide's always been a Jersey All-Pro guy. So it struck me as weird as fuck to see that. But anyway, that's what it was. But I don't think it was that, but it just happened to be the first thing I thought of. So apparently there was some promo where Homicide pissed on the building and New Jack is mad at the motherfucker because how dare anybody piss on that building? Well, you know, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but myself and half of the attendees of CZW, ECW, all sorts of other things that have gone on in that building have pissed on that building, at least from the backside in the parking lot, because there's a lot of times there's doubleheaders and you're locked out of the fucking building and you're just drinking in the parking lot. There's a lot of times where fucking the show didn't start yet for like an hour and people are tailgating like a motherfucker and they drink it in the fucking parking lot and nobody got a bathroom. There ain't no porta johns. Motherfuckers is pissing. Where are they pissing? On the building. So again, I fucking love the arena. I personally think that was a huge shot to me being a regular wrestling fan because the arena was a very comfortable place for me to go. I said this shit when it closed. I ain't fucking Dora Explorer. I'm not going to run around the fucking tri-state area trying to fucking figure out where CZW is and what it's going to look like and how much it's going to be like and what it's going to do and what it fucking... Get the fuck out of here. I'm not down with that shit. I'll check that shit out later. I'm not doing all that anymore. I've had it. Oh, Tangled Web's in Jersey. Fuck out of here. Fuck out my face with that dumb shit. You can only do so much shit in Jersey. You're doing a fucking Tangled Web in fucking Jersey. The last fucking Tangled Web had Drake Younger and fucking Scotty Vortex doing a motherfucking circus fucking death match. and you're going to bring that shit to New Jersey? Well, you bring that shit next door to my fucking house, and I'm probably going to find something else to do. Fuck that dumb shit. I don't get it. I don't understand the fucking the method to their madness, and I don't understand where they think that, like, these people are idiots and they're just going to go anywhere you fucking want them to. But I guess you only have so many options, so I don't know if there's even a blame that I could place right there, but the fact is the fact. And without the arena being what it is, that attending a monthly show to me is far less comfortable. It's just it. There was such a laid back hangout atmosphere where you got to catch up with friends. You got to hang out with the wrestlers, drink a couple beers, fucking watch a show, go home, fucking the whole thing worked. Now it's the fucking Flyers practice here. Oh, there's a ShopRite in the same parking lot. Oh, fucking get the fuck out of here. That shit, that's fine. Start your new audience, build your new shit off of what it is, because I can't fucking deal with that type of shit. It's not my atmosphere. It doesn't work for me. It's not just me complaining and going, oh, fucking find somewhere better. Like, I think I'm reaching the point in my life where it's not me no more. I got to do so many. I love wrestling. I'm always going to love wrestling. I'm still going to watch that shit, win, lose, or draw. But am I going to become this fucking journeyman guy that just fucking ventures everywhere for a fucking promoter that doesn't give a fuck about me? No, I'd say not. No, I'd say not. And I don't expect a promoter to give a fuck about me, because that's wrestling. That's wrestling, and that's people, and there's so many egos that go on in this shit, and you could choose to deal with it or you could choose to not. So I'll deal with it in limited quantities, and that's what I'll do. I have a million other things that I plan on doing this summer, and one of those things is fucking, I'm going to hit a couple zoos up, I'm going to bring my kids to fucking Sesame Place, I'm going to do all sorts of shit. I only got one day off for the week, and when I spend the night before at a wrestling show out late, fucking getting home late, the next day is not real possible, especially spending a shitload of money on a Saturday night. Going into Sunday, I'm not about to make a whole fucking trip out of Sunday. And there's just so much more shit that I'm going to do. And I'm really happy about it. So we're going to see what goes on there and all that. And it's not, there's no door closed. There's no anything like that. It is whatever. But as far as the arena goes, I have a tremendous amount of respect for what that building was for independent wrestling. Now, I mean, people would argue it's not as special as it used to be. And there was a lot of people saying that as the building was reaching its final moments and stuff. And I would definitely agree with it. No, it didn't have the, oh my fucking God, it's this building aura. But was it still the most comfortable fucking building in the fucking United States as far as I know? I mean, I don't travel that much. But just to be a wrestling fan and hang out and chill out with motherfuckers and have a couple beers and shit like that, I think it was. And that's gone. So far be it by me to disrespect a building by saying, hey, I'm just pissing on it. I watched fucking, not watched because that's pretty gay, but I've seen a bunch of fucking wrestlers take a break from fucking talking in a circle with us, drinking or whatever else, and be like, hold on a minute, and go piss on the building and come back. Okay. And so it seems like a shoot. If it's a work, it's a work. That's fine. But I don't know. I don't know. And I don't, maybe I don't blame New Jack for being mad, but maybe he should have a different, if it's a shoot, he should have maybe a little more understanding of a mind about it on the type of atmosphere it is. And it's not, this isn't like, you could have went to the bet. Nah, I mean, where could you, or were you going to get in your car, lose your fucking spot, fucking drive somewhere, go piss in the thing? And again, he did it for a promo to say a certain amount of things, and maybe it came off wrong. I don't know. I'm only defending it because, like I said, I haven't seen many other fucking people piss on that building. So, but New Jack's fucking promo on the shit was fucking crazy. Like, he goes fucking, he ain't fucking bullshitting, and I don't know. He's just doing great, great fucking promos right now about everything he thinks of.
And he just does it. He just goes in. That's what New Jack's always done, is he's going in on fucking promos. He's let motherfuckers know how he's feeling. And that's something what can I say? I'm all about saying how you feel. That's why I do this fucking show. This is why I'm different than a lot of fucking people that do these fucking radio shows, these podcasts, these internet, whatever the fuck you want to call them. Because what I try to do is I try to be me. I'm not the best with my enunciation, my grammar. I'm not the best with being a professional. I don't try to be a professional, so clearly couldn't be the best at something I'm not trying to do. But I don't, you know, I don't have some kind of fucking studio. I got a fucking cell phone and a fucking account through Blog Talk that I pay $100 a month. So I try to put out something that's worth that amount of money to me. And eventually, yeah, I'd like to get the whole headset thing going. I definitely don't like right now. I'm tethered to my motherfucking, my phone that's plugged into a fucking extension cord because the bitch was dying when I walked outside for 2 minutes right before when the break was going on, because I was going to light a fire and all that type of shit and chill out. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've done my fucking show sitting in front of a fire. Like, that's something I would enjoy doing. That's something I like doing. It sets me apart from different people, because other people want to be more professional. They want to do this. They want to do that. And those things are fine. Do you want to be more professional? I'll never call myself more professional than somebody, but in the same token, this is my voice. This is my extension of letting people know how I feel, what I like, what I don't like, and this is it. I mean, you can love it or hate it. It is what it is. Take it or leave it. A lot of people leave it. It's whatever. This is my extension of how to give wrestling fans out there and maybe some people who, you know, might be cool with me or maybe not cool with me, maybe have no idea what I'm about and just want to hear another opinion on some shit. And I'm just offering an opinion out there. A lot of people do it. There's a lot of shows out there. And honestly, a lot of these shows couldn't be more boring, couldn't be more like the amount of people on a lot of these shows that are just complete geeks. You just listen to, you're like, wow, that guy gets no pussy. There's no way that guy's fucking anytime soon. And it's like, well, I mean, they need something to do with their time too. But my message is, I'm not that guy. I'm not that show. I got a lot of fucking proof behind me not being that guy. But in the same token, you can listen the way I talk, and none of this is a work. None of this is put on. I don't conjure up something and just come up with like, oh, okay, now here's my script and I'm going to say this and wait till they hear I say this. I mean, and this is all honestly also where I get myself in trouble a lot of times, because I'll be like, this shit pissed me off. Wait till fucking Thursday. I'm going to tell the motherfuckers. I'm going to tell everybody how I can't stand this shit. And then sometimes I need some time to cool down. Shout out Nick Burke. And then leave some of that shit private. But again, I mean, it's just some stuff that comes across. You know what else I noticed on the ECW reunion or the Extreme Rebirth baby thing? Perry Saturn's on their roster page, and he's got this crazy-ass face tat. Does Perry Saturn really have a face tat, or is this some old Tensei shit where he's painted on? I don't know. I ain't seen Perry Saturn in a long fucking time. I always liked his work. Does he got some old Mike Tyson shit on his face now? Is that what that is? Because, I mean, I guess it's possible. I mean, who fucking knows? Shit. What else? Oh, well, you know what? So, check out all those New Jack Jones. Check out Perry Saturn's face on the goddamn thing. Get it back at me if that's shoot. Because I can't imagine they're just going to start painting his fucking face and shit, so I would actually think he's got one of Mike Tyson doing. Disappeared for a while, came back with a Tyson shit. That's cool. I mean, obviously, not everybody wants to do that shit, so it's not like you're biting something that everybody's doing. Nah, I mean, shit. So, pretty crazy-looking joint, though. Hey, you got that fucking, that tat on, and then starts talking to a mop again, you'll really get motherfuckers walking away from you. So anyway, I'm going to take another break. I'm going to go, because I haven't been able to go get a beer since I've been tethered to this goddamn extension cord. And I'm going to talk about the WWE when I get back and my feelings on that type of thing. And then, let's do another half hour or so and close the show out. So here's another track for you guys, all right? By nature, keeping a jersey tonight. What it is, so fans of WWE, the show started out, they did the whole AJ thing. Now, I'll go on record saying I like the AJ thing. I like AJ being a little psycho bitch. I like the whole, she has some really, like, really, really good facial expressions that put off this crazy vibe and this, like, flipped out bitch shit. I mean, there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of these, like, different expressions that she goes across, and she goes across quite a bit of them. I think you, any dude that's dealt with, like, crazy bitches at some point, like, you can probably identify with a lot of this shit, and just be like, oh, I know that fucking look, this bitch is crazy. Like, you just know that, like, she's flipped the fuck out, and it works when they're bouncing between, you know, D. Bryan and Kane and Punk and all that. Yeah, I understand, like, it kind of works. Some of it's a little weird. There's kind of, like, a little, not really sure where they're going with it. There's the option of, yeah, just going and, you know, having her jump back over there with Daniel Bryan and then act like this whole thing was just, like, to, you know, weaseled the title away from Punk or whatever the case was. But I don't know if that's really the way to go. I mean, it's an option, of course, but there's a lot of different things that could factor in here, and who knows? And now they're kind of making her like a little psycho in the ring, and they had her go over that night. So anyway, they start off the three-way match. Pretty good match, but they worked it pretty gimmicky. And then, you know, that the thing I have a problem with, too, with the AJ thing is, when the fuck did a run-in ever get an entrance theme? Like, her fucking entrance hit, and she skips around the ring and goes to the back. You don't get an entrance theme for a run-in. You just fucking run in, no? Like, why does the production team have a part in your run-in? Like, they're in on it, too? Like, who sent her out? Someone with a music cue, apparently. I don't... All right, so they do that. Then Brodus Clay and the Big Show. They're just fucking burying Brodus Clay and many other superstars via the Big Show. I've had enough of the Big Show. They can put him away and keep him away, and I can't stand this shit. I just don't understand why they all of a sudden decided, yep, we're going to push him now. They kind of have done this, like, rebirth thing with some of these big guys in the past couple of years. They did it with Mark Henry, but the difference is Mark Henry is viable. I think Mark Henry is a far, far better worker than the Big Show. I think Mark Henry played that really, really badass monster, that no fuck round, like, really come off and just destroys opponents and just fucking brutal shit. And the thing too, Mark Henry, he didn't immediately come off them having him cry like a bitch on TV. I think that killed anything that you were going to do with the Big Show. I mean, I was watching that when they had him crying on TV and just like, what can you possibly do with him now? They just killed him. And then it's like, oh, he's going to kill everybody in the locker room. Oh, he's going to be an upcoming fucking monster, just squashing everybody. Brodus Clay, who wasn't losing any fucking matches not too long ago, is now just getting his fucking head caved in by the Big Show. Like, fucking really? It's the biggest fucking waste of time as far as I'm concerned. I really, really do not like that shit. So, that's that. I just, oh man, I hate that fucking Big Show shit. So he gets fucking killed. Then what? Then they have Jack Swagger versus Santino. I was really, really surprised to see them put Santino over in this match. I think they do need to give that guy as much of a push as they feel like he can handle, and then see what happens. I think Santino is money. His entertainment value is through the roof. You obviously don't need everybody to just be a beastly monster that comes out. I mean, he could make the crowd laugh. He can work. He's not a guy that is just going to blow a bunch of shit. So it's really fucking strange to, you know, see. Hold on. So, that's basically what it is. And, you know, I just don't feel like, that's a good idea. I don't understand why they would, you know, think that Santino might not be a guy that can take that thing and run with it. And giving him a win over Swagger, I hope this isn't burying Swagger. Not that I'm a huge Swagger fan, but I feel like Santino could definitely do some shit and be a viable guy, not just a joke guy, not just like a fucking segment guy. Like, you know, when they brought in all these different celebrities and shit like that. You know, I think he's a guy who can legitimately carry shit. So I'm really happy for him. Give me 1 second. I'm trying to do something, which is ridiculous. So we say during a show, and, but I'm going to bring someone on real quick. Familiar to some people who listened in the past. Then they had Heath Slater doing the whole I'm gonna call out somebody and, you know, fucking whatever the fuck. Oh, fucking Sid Vicious. He's such a bag of shit. he's not a good worker. He's not. So that was that. And a lot of people said he looks like DDP now, which is pretty funny. I don't think he ever looked that far from DDP, just like a bigger fucking jacked up on something DDP. But whatever. Then you had Alberto Del Rio versus Dolph Ziggler. I thought this was a great fucking match for number one contender. I like that shit quite a bit. I mean, those are two talented fucking dudes, and I really enjoyed that. That's the type of caliber match I'd like to see. It was like a fucking whatever on a fucking pole match or whatever the fucking, it just, so it's going to be a three-way because they couldn't decide it or whatever. So it's Ziggler, Sheamus, and Del Rio in a fucking three-way. So that's that. Then they had a battle royal. Vicky Guerrero in there and everybody else, a beach battle royal, so bikinis and stuff, like, ooh, fucking, AJ wins, you know, does her a little psycho thing, and she does yes, yes, yes when she wins, and that's pretty much that. Then they did, Jericho, John Cena. Cena wins. Big Show comes in and destroys Cena, you know. After the match, Cena wins by DQ, and I just lackluster. But anyway, I'm going to let on the show right now. Good friend of mine and formerly co-host, Eric Williams. Eric.
Yo, what's going on, man? New blog talk feature. I'm liking this shit when you're putting on, when you actually put on the... Eric goes, beep.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. I was like,
look,
that's
that
fucking new. I haven't done this in a while. But, yeah, what's going on, Jake? I caught in the tail end of the, you know, your Raw recap, and I find it hilarious that every week the Raw recaps from every podcast that I listen to get shorter and shorter every week. It's like everybody's starting to speed up the process of doing these Raw, you included.
Yeah.
I mean, I listen to a bunch of people like, they're like, yeah, this match, yeah. But honestly, what the hell is going on over there? Like, they had a stretch of 3 to 4 months when I was on the show and everything, where we'd sometimes spend 30 to 45 minutes on Raw. Now it's like, you know.
Yeah, it's hard. Definitely hard going, man. It's I don't know. I've always had a hard time getting through it, and sometimes I find enough to talk about for a while. But man.
But not a minute and a half going over three matches. That's
right.
Ridiculous. And I'm gonna say this right now: Raw is becoming even boring as hell. I'm gonna be honest with you. I cannot wait to get this fucking DVR shit because I can't even. It's wasting space on download, like. Downloading Raw is a waste of time. That's just wasting time space. Like, honestly, that's just how it goes. But, yeah, man, I'm just chilling out. I figured, you know, give you a ring and, you know,
absolutely. And I know you had something on your chest you wanted to get off. You had some rant to talk about. I think you attended a WWE house show and everything else, right?
Oh, my God. So, yeah, it's not about WWE, man. Like I said, WWE, they do the fucking, you know. They do their thing, whatever.
But I mean, you attended a WWE house show.
Yeah,
how did that go? I've never attended a WWE show.
Oh, you want me to talk about the WWE show before we go into the rant?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I got some things to talk about the WWE show, for the show. Number one, nice setup on the ramp. I mean, before they were just coming out through a regular curtain. Now, for house shows, they have like a pretty awesome set ramps. You know, we got a whole set deal. It's pretty cool for a house show. But I've been to a Raw taping before, so I've seen the Raw type deal. This was back in 1999, I think it was. They ran at the Stabler, but they haven't had like a Raw there since 1999. So it's been a fucking like 13 years.
Right.
But so the show was really good. They had a opening. They had Justin Gabriel versus Jack Swagger. And if that whole Cruiserweight show comes off as, what it's supposed to be. I think that Justin Gabriel will be one of those top guys on that show because, honestly, watching Gabriel live, man, fucking awesome. Like, yeah. I wish he was on the indies. Like, honestly, he would be great on the indies.
But he's got a lot of talent, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's so good. Jack Swagger is your typical big man who is a pretend Kurt Angle, and that's all I'm going to say about that. Because he's not fucking good. He fucking talks with a lisp, which we...
No, I hear you. One thing I want to add, because I forgot to mention it when I was doing the Raw thing. Big Show did the worst fucking Vader bomb I've ever seen, and I don't understand why they would even allow him to do that just after bringing Vader back, after all that time. And, of course, it was a one-shot, but Vader did it. Jack Swagger has been running around doing a very good Vader bomb because, obviously, he's an athlete.
Right.
Yeah, I hate his fucking haircut and his voice and all that shit, but he's an athlete. And then all of a sudden, the Big Show climbs the fucking ropes. I'm like, what the fuck is he about to do? And he does the shittiest Vader bomb ever, 1 week after Vader was on TV. Why?
I don't remember watching the fucking... I fucking turned it off Raw right before the main event. Is he doing this thing? Because he did it at the house show when I did it. Is he doing a Vader bomb, but it's kind of turning into a fucking elbow drop? Like,
I don't think so. He might be just bracing himself. He wasn't really on the main event, but...
He did that shit in Stables where he, like, did the fucking Vader bomb. It took him fucking 20 seconds to get on the fucking ropes. And then he
was kind of like that.
Like, Cena was fucking, like, he was, like, waiting, and Cena's, like, fucking, you could hear him screaming, I'm gonna move! And fucking Big Show, like, fucking, it's like one of those, like, I think I'm gonna fucking right to his side. Like, he might have, I don't know what it was. It was so bad, though. And at that point, I look at the person I'm with, and I'm like, and he's been with the fucking company for how long?
Yeah.
They just laughed.
Yeah.
He's been with the company for fucking years. And I think how Leech still with them. And honestly, I would love to see a good big man that can fucking go and be as menacing as the Big Show is, or he has been in recent years. But I'm saying right now, he's actually, you know, it's funny to say this, but he's actually at his best right now, and that's saying a lot. But yeah, that was, so we'll get back to the house show and everything.
Okay. Well,
first off, let me throw a rant out, one of these other rants I had. I think it's hilarious that people are shitting on Sid Vicious for, no showing PWS shows and, you know, whatever. But he would never know show a WWE show. Let's get that out there right now. The WWE is the fucking, is the big company, the biggest company out there. And
of course,
Sid Vicious is definitely never going to fucking no sell a PWS show, Eric Tapout show. Never in a million years would he do that shit to Vince.
What is Sid really worth? And you should honor all your bookings. I've seen actually people, commenting on different pages and stuff saying, Sid, of course Sid, who would want to wrestle Matt Hardy? Of course he fucking backed out. Like, no, dude, you're not allowed to just do that as a professional. Like, he was supposed to wrestle Hardy on the PWS show. You can't just fucking back out of a booking and then have the fans go, well, I don't fucking blame them. Who wants to wrestle Matt Hardy? Like, no, dude. Fans wanted to fucking see you and fucking you decided to fuck them. Guys paid you and you decided to fuck them. And then instead of saying, hey, dude, I wasn't into it or fucking I ain't feeling good or hey, whatever the real deal was, because I don't fucking know what it was. He fucking sat with the fucking money and then fucking told Eric that, someone robbed me in a fucking deli. Really? Someone fucking robbed you, Sid? Who?
Who is this? You there?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you were saying who is this on the... I thought you were trying to pick up a phone call.
No.
But yeah, I'm going to say this right now, and a lot of people aren't going to this, mindset, I think it comes down to that Psycho Sid is a veteran, and he's testing out the young Eric Tapout. Because Eric Tapout is a pretty young guy. I think he's early 30s?
Something like that.
And I've read numerous fucking books the Bret Hart book, the Shawn Michaels book, the Mick Foley book. And one thing I actually learned from reading these books and listening to these shoot interviews is that veterans will fucking milk the shit out of young promoters. So maybe it was a case of doing that type of deal, but because honestly, I've never heard of guys like Frank Goodman or any other like guy who has run so many shows getting screwed that way by a big name wrestler. Because if they
now that's happened lots of times. That's crazy because the thing too is like he already worked for Eric. Like he came over and worked Eddie Kingston. And
that was
so
such
already,
a short match, though. Was that even a match, or is that just an angle? I think that match was a minute long, Jay.
Right, but that's all
like,
Sid had
hey,
to fucking
how
offer.
How do you feel? Like, honestly, if you see that as a promoter, if I would have been a promoter and I would have seen that, Sid Vicious would never have stepped in his foot into a Pro Wrestling Syndicate show ever again. Honestly, that's a joke and a fucking half. I'm not blaming that on Kingston. And like I'm saying, people who book Sid, other than Davi, are gonna give into his bullshit, I'm gonna get paid $800. I'm gonna give you a minute. I'm gonna give you a fucking powerbomb. I take no moves, I take no bumps, and I do what I want. And I go home in a fucking smiley face. And I get paid to do autographs, too, so I'm going to make a cut of that. And honestly, what promoter is stupid? I'm not condoning Sid's actions, but if people are going to pay Sid to do absolutely nothing, then why can't Sid keep doing it if he's going to keep doing it? It's not, you know, he's a pro worker. If he's getting paid, you know, to do nothing, why should he say, that's wrong? You know what I'm saying? Like, why bust your ass or whatever? He's, like, so almost 60.
From what you're saying, though, he's getting paid to do nothing by his own choice, and
right.
He's giving other people the illusion that he is going
people
to do
are,
something.
But people are still paying him. I think both people are at fault for this, for booking him. Like, anybody, you see Psycho Sid's recent work, and people are still booking him because of that. If you're a promoter, you watch other product, and you have to see what the hell's going on. Am I right or am I wrong?
I guess. But if you're selling a shit product, right, and
right.
People keep buying that shit product, that doesn't make you right because people keep buying it. That just
but
makes
both
it...
people are wrong. Like, both people are wrong, though.
You know, I don't know. I mean, if a promoter gets fucked... And it's really to no fault of their own other than just saying, hey, you should know that guy would fuck you. I mean, he worked for him once already. Everything went pretty normal other than having a really short match. But I guess that was satisfactory to Eric, where it was good enough that he was like, you know what, I'll still book the guy. And fuck. I mean, if Sid came back in and gave him another 1 minute match, then maybe Eric would be completely fine with that. But to call him fucking last minute and say, I'm not coming, that's just not an honorable thing. And Sid,
right.
Being a veteran, you can test promoters, you can take promoters for their money, you could do that. But to be just a scumbag and no-show, that's not a veteran move.
Right, right. And I understand that. I was just trying to bring a point to the table that kind of really didn't work.
No, I understand. I definitely get it. But that's not a veteran move to no-show a fucking promoter,
right.
Just to show them. Like, you're showing them what? You can't trust a wrestler? Like, that's not a good...
Right, yeah, I understand. Maybe I... Yeah. But, okay, so I'm going to get on this rant.
Cool.
And for people who've done this in the past, it's no shoot on you. It's a shoot on the people who I'm going to talk about. And
right.
This rant is not towards every indie independent wrestler. It's to the certain people who I'm going to mention, and
okay.
That's it. All right, so basically where I'm from Allentown. Allentown, Bethlehem, you know, the AB area. It's called Lehigh Valley. All right, so there is a wrestling company that used to be around back in the day, about 3 years ago, and they put on fucking shit shows. Like, if you were, Jay, if you were here, you would fucking never go there. because they're not worth anybody's time. They're not even worth – they're not worth anything. They could give – honestly, I've been to shows of theirs. They've had free shows. I've walked out with nothing to do. It wasn't like I had to leave because I had something else to do. It was – I was that bored. And I can watch wrestling if I don't – I can watch any type of wrestling if it's free and be okay with it. But this shit was so bad. Okay, so there's people that used to work for CZW. Well, one of them, Chris Styles. He now goes by Bill Bailey. And he claims he's the future of the business, but he's 34 years old.
He was – for those that don't know, I might know, you know, old CZW. He was the Irish drinking team with Ian Knox.
Right.
Go ahead.
But he used to be really skinny. Now he's completely jacked and on roids. That's a fact, by the way. I've heard him say that during a training session that I attended, not as a, you know, not training, but just watching because I was filming for a company, another company that he worked, and he was telling people to fucking get on the juice. And he wasn't even laughing about it. He was being dead honest. There's another guy whose name is Danny Danger, who is a 23-year-old guy who thinks he can be bullies to other wrestlers, and he is 5'7". Another guy, Kikoa the Flying Hawaiian, who has worked for Combat Zone once before, got kicked out of a locker room and got punched at a WXW show by Devin Moore. And there's another guy who thinks he is a Chris Hero ripoff. His name is, well, he used to go by JC Westler, Westler, W-E-S-T-L-E-R. I don't know where the fuck the name comes from, but now he goes by Chad Evans. All right, so these guys.
Oh, I didn't know there were more Chris Hero ripoffs because I was like waiting for the Alexander James thing, but and then.
Okay, well, Alexander James does. I've not seen Alexander James do every single fucking move out of Chris Hero's book.
No, I just say he kind of looks like him, but.
Right, but Chad Evans does not look anything like him. He has fucking short black hair. He has a goatee. He's fucking 5'10", 160 pounds. And he does every single move in Chris Hero's book. Every single move. The fucking roaring elbow. He does fucking like a big boot. He doesn't even do a Yakuza kick. So he doesn't get any mark out moment for that. Because I mark out every time I see the Yakuza kick.
right.
But he doesn't do that. He fucking does the Tracy Smothers. Like, get him in the corner, do slaps to the fucking chest. He does all that shit. And it's funny because at shows, he gets no mark out. People are just fucking sitting on their fucking, on their hands. That's it. They fucking mark out for simple shit, the fucking face versus heel type shit, stupid heel. You know what I mean? So he's trying to be a fucking mark for himself. All right, so this group of four guys claim that they are the future of the business. And they always say they're at the gym 6 days a week for 3 hours. They have the Frank Goodman mentality, okay? And I'm going to say this right now. If you expect me to ever pay for fucking somebody, one of those, you know, members of the groups to pay to be at one of their shows, fucking eat my shit, okay? Because I'll never fucking go to your show. You claim you're the future of the business, and yet you've never fucking worked for any fucking buddy credible. Bill Bailey, you worked for Combat Zone Wrestling fucking numerous times when you were fucking 24 years old. That was 10 years ago. When the fuck was that was 2002. That was 10 years ago. Okay?
Wow.
That was 10 years ago. You were at the fucking top of your peak and you fucking and all you care about is, hey, I'm a professional wrestler. I'm going to make it to the WWE. You're fucking not even, like, close. There's 1,000 wrestlers that look just like you and act just like you and fucking you're steroid freak. And you think that you're going to be the fucking big shot. But guess what? I seen you fucking upper deck at a WWE house show paying money to see fucking WWE and marking out like a little bitch. So, future the business, my dick. Danny Danger, you worked one fucking match, you got squashed, and you drove to fucking Nassau Coliseum and you live in the same city as me. And yet you fucking drove, what, how far is it to fucking, like, you didn't deal with it? 4 hours, 5 hours? He drove 5 hours to get a fucking $300 paycheck. Future of business?
Nah, well, that's
only
$300? I mean, that's honestly not a bad thing, though.
Right, but one match, claiming you're the future of the business. They pretty much just used you to fucking
still
get over Ezekiel Jackson. Kekoda Flying Hawaiian, you live in the same city as me as well, yet you fucking pretty much constantly pestered the shit out of WWE offices to the point where you became friends with somebody in the office and you got one segment with Maurice and you got paid $50 for that. And yet you claim to be the future of the business. And you say that you're not getting your fair share of bookings and good matches. Well, you've gotten kicked out of locker rooms and you're a douchebag. And then there's Chad Evans. Well, he's never been to the WWE. Honestly, if WWE would pay fucking him for anything, I would fucking lose my mind and probably start screaming, Jesus! But that's besides the point. You've never done anything in your career. And
right.
All four of you to be seen that fucking, I'm a non-wrestler, by the way, and I got fucking free tickets, lower level, and you motherfuckers have to pay money to go to WWE just because you want to mark out and be like kids. Fuck all of you. Fuck all of you, future of the business. You're the future of a fucking business. You probably are creating a business as a trash disposal to throw your fucking careers down the fucking garbage chute.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much what I'm fucking saying is that if you claim to be the future of the business, be the future of the business. Don't fucking claim it and then do nothing with it.
I hear that.
That's pretty much it.
Cool, man.
And,
well, fuck
yeah,
it, man.
And you know what's crazy? The only thing I gave two shits about at that WWE show was my boy coming up to me, because I fucking told him at the beginning of the year, I said, yo, I was talking basketball with him. He goes, because he's a huge Heat fan.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, man, we're going to fucking championship this year. We're winning it. And I looked at him, I said, do you really think so? He goes, yeah. He's like, if the Heat win, I'm going to come up to you and be like, yo, Heat, baby, like scream. So I fucking see him at the show, right? He walks up to me, he goes, you already know what I'm about to do. And I go, yo, walk the fuck away. Fuck away. So he's pointing his fucking LeBron jersey in my face. I look at him. I go, yo, Pedro, get the fuck out of here. It's fucking ridiculous. Fucking goes spot. And he goes, heat, fucking screaming heat. Like, I'm like, man, this guy's retarded. Fucking shoots me a text later. He goes, haha, thought it was funny. But, yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
By the way, I want to put you over a little bit. I want to hype you up a little bit, man. I'll tell you right now, man. The recent fucking shows that you fucking done have been on fucking point fucking money. Like, money. Like, I know G's be fucking putting you out on Facebook and fucking saying, oh, great fucking shows. Man, those Burke interviews, I'm telling you right now, I have not heard a fucking better fucking Nick Burke interview than J.K.
Nick Burke's a fan. Well, Nick Burke's a fantastic guy.
He fucking likes to fucking talk like very in depth. I fucking like. I'm glad that people are starting to appreciate you as an interviewee. Not interviewee. But you're not doing interviews. You're interviewing people.
I don't know, man. I only just ask people real questions. I make it more of a conversation than I do an interview. I have questions, obviously, and I'm trying to draw stuff out of you know it. But in the same token, it's different because I am very, very unprofessional and I would just have more or less a conversation with somebody. And I know how to talk. I know how to conversation. I know how to, you know, ask things that I know a lot of other people might want to hear. But it's not a level of, you know, hey,
you're just a great interviewer. Like, amongst the great interviewers, you're like,
no,
I,
you know
I never
saying.
See
like,
it that
you
way.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
just,
yeah, but, like, I know you're, like, I know you're a humble dude and shit like that, but the way it comes off, man, like, and I'm going to, I'll fucking say this right now, fucking, you want me to shoot, I'll shoot right now. And we've talked about this before, and you kind of, like, brushed me off, but, yo, fuck whoever fuck Smart Mark's using, fuck them. Fire them. Let fucking J-Cat fucking take care of the interviews. Honestly,
well,
the interviews
listen,
will be fucking 10 times better. No, fuck that.
I'm
no.
all from, well, I mean, while
yo,
I'll go back
that,
to being
yo,
humble in a minute, I would
fuck
love.
Brett Lauderdale. Fuck
well,
Brett Lauderdale. Fuck him.
I was just going to say that. I'm all for Brett Lauderdale being fired from anything he's employed at, but I honestly don't want the job.
Well, I'm just chilling. I mean, I'm just drinking. I'm fucking just hanging out, man. I'm so
bugging out,
fucking,
huh?
I'm bugging the fuck out. I'm really wanting, like, honestly, I fucking feel that there's been a lot of things that have been, you know, people have been fucking acting the hell up lately. And that's the whole, everything. Like,
acting
now, you know what? I'm going to be good. I don't want to cause any more fucking ruckus. No pun intended. But I'm telling you right now, I've enjoyed every single one of your interviews lately. Fucking Teddy Hart was fucking awesome. Billy Real fucking, man, that shit was, man.
Yeah.
That guy,
I
don't know. Like, that guy, I mean, you remember when I had him on that Trent tribute, it was years ago. But he was really, like, I couldn't barely hear him. He's like, I know he was fucked up at that point with all the shit he was dealing with, man. I honestly, listening to him, like, on your show, I was like, holy shit, this guy fucking so smart. And, like, just fucking, I don't know, man, you know how I get sometimes. I get fucking, like, because I'm so proud of you. I fucking think you're doing a fucking phenomenal job doing.
I appreciate it, man.
What the fuck
are
you laughing at?
Just...
What the fuck are you laughing at?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You're bugging out, dude. I don't know.
I gotta bug out, man. When I was, you know, when I was doing the show, I had to fucking stay calm. You were the one bugging out, and now you're the fucking one running the whole thing. And now I gotta bug out on you.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm just fucking with you. But yeah, man, you're doing a phenomenal job. Keep up the good work.
Cool, man.
On the chat room.
Probably
on the chat room.
Huh?
Juan in the chat room tonight?
I don't know. The chat room's kind of light. I had Juan on earlier, then he made a bunch of noise, and I put him on hold, and then he hung up.
Jesus! I was waiting for you to play that. Kind of.
All
right, Jim, man. Yeah, have a great night. All right. I'll talk to you later, all right?
But yeah, man, thanks for calling in.
Yep, see ya.
Peace. Yeah, it was Eric, you know? Fucking used to do a lot of shit with the dude. He was fucking losing his shit tonight over some people. I don't know who the fuck they are. I know, well, the Kikoa kid I know from he did the one match in CZW. Wasn't really any good. From what I heard, he was an asshole in the locker room. And like, he skated out of there before the second match even happened. Like, he was gone. I think it was dark match and just left, like, right after. So, I mean, it was whatever it was. I don't know. But then the Chris Styles guy, like he said, back in 2002, when he was doing the Irish drinking team. Well, I remember him from then, but other than that, like, I didn't know he even still wrestled. So, those are the only two people I even know who he's talking about, but he's awful fired up. So I figured, why not? He hit me up the other day, like, dude, would you mind if I called in fucking bugged out about something? I said, fucking have at it. Anytime. So, that's what it is. And I enjoyed that. Maybe we'll have him back for a Japanese with Eric, occasionally. Bring some things back here and there, and, you know. Eric's always welcome, like I said. I kind of wanted to go away from doing the regular co-host thing because it just doesn't seem to work out. It just, certain shit happens. And, like, when you go on a certain amount of rants and stuff like that, like I do, I mean, like, Juan, you know, he calls in, and I don't like to just leave him on hold. I see him there, so I'll try to catch him in between stuff like I did in the early part of the show. And then it was like, all right, cool, okay, we hit what you got to say, and then I just want to put him on hold so he can still listen if he wants to listen through his phone. But just trying to hold his phone and just not say anything or make any noise is ridiculous. You got to go into, like, a fucking you either got to mute yourself on your fucking phone, or you got to sit in some kind of state where nothing happens around you. There's no background noise. There's no nothing. Then all of a sudden, it just sounds like shuffling, like someone's like fucking drop kicking your phone, or like you're eating potato chips or whatever the fuck is going on. And I don't need that shit because I have a whole lot of stuff to talk about. I'll take anybody's call. We'll talk about whatever. We'll go over whatever it is. No problem. But then when we're done, we're done. And, you know, I try to go off. That's the only reason it became an issue, because it was like I do a lot of talking, and then if the other guy cannot keep quiet during, it's completely interruptive and that type of thing. So, I mean, conversation going with Eric is, you know, no problem. He's welcome anytime, like I said, but I'm just kind of going solo on the host thing. So again, I mean, we'll have Eric back just as, you know, caller any given night. Like I said, I'll have to prepare a Japanese card. So if he does happen to call in on one of these nights, we can bring back the Japanese with Eric. At least, you know, hey, occasionally people will miss it and then just get hit with it out of nowhere. So that sounds like a plan to me. Another funny little thing happened the other day to me. It was the fucking those douchebags from that show, the Jersey Shore, fucking they filmed some shit, I guess, at my job. It's fucking at shelter. But I mean, I seen them for a minute. I was handling a cat that just got turned in, and I was pulling these two kittens out of her, like 9 months old type thing. And I'm picking, all of a sudden I hear, oh, it's so cute, or whatever. I look up, and it's like the entire cast and that snooky animal standing like right over the little fucking, the swing open doors right there, like staring at the kitten and the rest of you. And then I hear one of these assholes, I like dogs, and like fucking, oh shit. And fucking, I'm like, all right, well, lunchtime for me. I fucking punched out, went out front, you know, sat there on my iPad, just fucked around on the internet. But And I seen them when they leave, and I don't know really any of their names other than, I mean, the one dude just got the Zack Ryder hair. He was there, and then I saw the Snooky thing, and then some other fucking jizz mop, and the other little short dude, the little jacked up short dude. And then like later on, like, because everyone was fucking marking out in that place, like customers were running in and out. Where did they go? Which way? I'm just sitting there laughing, like fucking. Sitting there outside on my iPad, like, yo, fuck this. Like, I don't need this dumb shit. And then they fucking ran around inside. And then people told me later that I guess it was all of them. And they were filming for the show. So I guess the job's going to be on show or whatever. But I don't watch the show. So, but it was just kind of random because, I mean, you know, we're a little zoo / shelter out in the middle of nowhere out here. You know, in this town and shit, like 7 miles away from the fucking parkway. There's like pretty much woods, like a few houses, and then that shit, like 7 miles away from the parkway. You go the other direction, there's a town and all that where I live at. But this is like the little outskirt joint, small zoo in, over here. But, so, I don't know. It's just weird. I mean, they did the thing last year. Fucking Snooki came there and did fucking community service or some shit when she had her little stupid incident. Fucking. So then they did it, but they like ushered her around, security, fucking whole entourage, and like more or less just like took pictures of her doing like barely anything. I wasn't even there that day, thank God. And then she was doing shit out like towards the zoo anyway, so. But it was just random fucking, and so then this bullshit happened, and that's what that is. So yeah, I think I'm about to wrap this motherfucker up. I think I'm about out of shit to say, and hopefully motherfuckers enjoyed it, and I guess we'll see. What happens. So let me find something to fucking play, and then I'll take the shit for the motherfucking. But yeah, next Thursday, check me out, you know, 9 p.m. as always. Not sure if I have a guest or not. Just, you know, stay tuned. I'll always hit people up on Facebook, let people know if I do. If I don't, I'll be here by myself doing the damn thing. It'll be one day after 4th of July, so I'll be fucking recovering from a severe fucking hangover that day. I am clearly getting fucking wasted on the 4th, and the 5th, you know, I'm already have scheduled off. So I'll be sitting home all day recovering. Hopefully it's not going to hurt too bad. I'm going to try to eat as much as I drink and balance it out somehow. That's my current plan. And then I'm just going to take it from there. But, yeah, I mean, check the shit out next week. And I think that's all I got. So, peace.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over. And we're taking over. And we're taking over.